Welcome to the Marketing Stir podcast by Stirista, where we chat with industry leaders and get their take on the challenges facing the market, and maybe we'll have a little fun along the way. In today's episode, Pearson Curtis, Director of Marketing Strategy at H&R Block, joins Vincent and AJ to discuss the marketing strategy of one of the largest tax preparers in the country.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode, not just another episode, the season premiere episode of season four. You have seasons? Who do you think you are? Well, a podcast of over 150 episodes. That's who we think we are. It's the Marketing Stir. I, of course, am one of your hosts, Vincent Petrofessa, the Vice President of B2B Products, and still, for 4 years now, the interim general manager here at Stirista. When are they going to drop that interim title? You would think now, right? People are dropping that title. The coach of the Raiders, he was interim, and now he's head coach. Let's talk to my co-host about that, ladies and gentlemen. We'll get to him in a moment, but welcome to another episode. If you forgot the Marketing Stir, how could you, right? We've been putting out the best dubs for about a month, little hiatus while you got back from the holidays, worked out that January, but this is worth the wait. We have an amazing, amazing episode for you. One of the most iconic brands, and it's timely. We'll get to that. But let's talk about Stirista for just a few seconds. That's all. We only talk about us for a few seconds. And then it's all about the guest. Who are we? We are a marketing technology company. We own our own business-to-business data, business-to-consumer data. We help companies through our own technology access that data to help them get new customers through our email sending platform, our DSP. Email me, vincent@stirista.com. Boy, do you use it. Not always for the reason I want, but hey, at least you're listening. That's a good thing. The other thing, I missed this next person. You know, I've seen him a little bit here, but on the Marketing Stir, ladies and gentlemen, my co-host, Mr. AJ Gupta. What's going on, AJ?
Hey, Vincent. I am I'm doing all right. I've had a few more shoulder issues. Might be time to retire from tennis since we last talked, but otherwise things have gotten off to a good start.
Nonsense. Don't you dare say you're going to retire from tennis. The people, that's the thing that people ask me the most. They're like, you know, maybe they don't think you're athletic, AJ. I don't know, but you are a good tennis player. This is what people, I'm just the messenger, man. Don't shoot the messenger. These are people like, is he really good at tennis? I'm like, yeah, he's good. You know, but he's always complaining about his ailments. I'm like, well, yeah, that's part of it. I know. But no, we still need you there.
Well, I was thinking of taking up ping pong so I could challenge you finally.
I still am the champion there. That you have not beaten me in yet, unlike fantasy football. But yeah, we have to catch up on a few things, right? Last time I was there, it was the holiday party. We had our summit. It's been a while. Celebrated another amazing year at Stirista. We keep growing out there, ladies and gentlemen. We keep growing. Isn't that a great thing? But yeah, then I got to finally see the San Antonio Spurs play in person. That was great. It's only been like a few months, but it feels like forever.
Yeah, 140 people at the holiday summit. Things, even when you joined, I think we were just at 40. So it's been a crazy number of additions.
I was employee number 4041. I'm celebrating very soon my fifth year here. In June, my fifth year here, but I've known the company for 14 years, as long as I've known you, AJ, isn't that? Yeah, we go way back when we were just young little pups.
Yeah, that's right. When we used to be the young people at conferences.
Exactly. And guess what we didn't talk about 13 years ago? Our shoulder injuries or my sciatica, which I had to go to physical therapy for. Yeah, getting old is real fun, people. It is real fun. But AJ, this was worth the wait, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you, you know, what do you think about when it's this time of year, right? It's like, you know, going into like February, March, April. April 15th is usually a day that people think of. It may even be extended this year, but people think of those days there. What do you think of, AJ, when that comes to mind?
Tax season, baby.
Tax season. You know, this is the first year I'm actually getting some money back, ladies and gentlemen. It's about time. But yes, tax season. We wanted our season four premiere. You've seen our premieres before. You've listened to our premieres before. You know we pull out all the stops. Tax season. H&R Block. H&R Block was my tax prepare for years. Shout out to the one on Duane Street here in Manhattan. They were great, like family. I used to go in. I preferred going in to, you know me, I'm a people person. I'm not trying to do anything online. I'm a people person. H&R Block, ladies and gentlemen, we are lucky to have an amazing, amazing guest today from H&R Block. Ladies and gentlemen, the Director of Marketing Strategy at H&R Block, Pearson. Curtis, what's going on, Pearson?
Hey, Vincent, AJ. Happy to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. First of all, you have the most perfect radio name, Pearson. This is, ladies and gentlemen, Pearson Curtis. It's not, it just rolls off the tongue. That's amazing. But welcome, welcome.
Yeah. I got to thank my mom and dad for that one. It's funny how often people turn around for Curtis Pearson. That actually happens a lot in some of the sales emails I get, which I know that will be one of the questions here towards the end.
That's right.
Yeah.
One of the peeves, get his name right. I did. Come on. It's not hard, but that's awesome. H&R Block. I love it. Iconic brand. I'm happy you took some time out for us. I know you must be so busy right now, but we're happy to get you on here. And season 4 premiere. This is insane. We love it. So Pearson, let's get right into it. Obviously people know about the company, but in your own words, tell us about H&R Block and then your role specifically within the organization.
Yeah, absolutely. So H&R Block is, as most of the listeners probably know, it's a tax preparation company. H&R Block's been around for over almost 70 years, started in 1955. For a long time, the whole business model was helping people in tax offices. And then over the last 10 so years, we've had a transformation digitally as well into other products, which kind of leads into my role. So I lead our marketing strategy for our DIY online tax product. So these are people who want to file their taxes online. There's other players in the marketplace as well that you're probably familiar with. So my role, I sit at the center of the marketing organization, and I work with all the different teams in marketing to make sure we have a holistic strategy for our DIY tax software. So I'm working with the email team, the paid media team, the creative team, the website team, to make sure that all the pieces of the puzzle fit together and we're accomplishing the goals that the business has laid out for us.
I love it. So I'm one of those people you don't go after in the sense that I like coming into the office.
My counterpart on the marketing organization leads that strategy. So yeah, we have a two-pronged approach usually. We are trying to get you to come back into the office, Vincent. So we'll see what we can do about that.
Exactly. Yeah, I always like that, neighborhood touch. But majority of people are now doing taxes online, which is amazing. It makes it easy. But a question we ask everyone, Pearson, how'd you get started in just marketing in general?
Yeah, so my first job out of college was actually in sales. I went to Indiana University, so shout out to any Hoosiers out there. And then moved to Chicago and got a job in as a freight broker for a logistics company. I had to make about 100 cold calls a day, and it just wasn't for me. That role, I have a lot of respect for anyone in a sales position because it is tough sledding out there. So from there, I got started at an agency doing paid search. And I was on the agency side for a few years and then made the jump to the brand side, working at Grubhub in downtown Chicago, leading the paid search team as well there. And then I've been at H&R Block for the last 4.5 years. So I got started because I needed a job and I knew a little bit about paid search, and someone took a chance on hiring me. And, that's how I got started.
Kristen, when we think about strategy and how you optimize campaign, data comes to mind. So how are you leveraging some of the data insights in making these campaigns better?
Yeah, if we think about tax season, I'm going to zoom out, AJ, and then zoom in to answer your question. H&R Block makes about 80% of our revenue in 4 months. So we need to have all of our data firing on all cylinders on day one, because based on the seasonality of our business, there is no next quarter. Or next month even. So we look at data in a variety of ways. We're using it to help inform which audiences are a priority. So everyone has to follow their taxes, but we have certain segments based on data we can see of where we believe we can find growth for the business. And then on a daily basis, we're also evaluating all of our marketing channel performance, whether that's in a multi-touch attribution world or last touch. And then we're also ingesting real-time signals such as search demand in tax season to understand how is tax season trending? Are people filing earlier or later compared to last year? Because all of those factors can influence our business in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. You're right. It seems like everything will be very condensed into a very short period.
Yeah, like, you know, Vincent, if you had to make 80% of your salary in 4 months, you'd probably put so much effort and energy into making sure those 4 months go well. As interim general manager, I know you're still working for the to lose that title.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, in the, kind of the rest of the time, how do you kind of stay on top of the latest trends and innovation and marketing?
Yeah, so personally, I'm a big marketing podcast listener. Usually listen to some podcasts when I'm walking the dog. I also enjoy the Marketing Brew email newsletter. If anyone's familiar with the Morning Brew, they do a marketing version as well. I find that useful. And then also Ad Age and Ad Week. And then, so that's me personally. And then in terms of on H&R Block side, we partner with some world-class agencies to help us understand some of the more macro trends with consumer dynamics, behavior. What is Gen Z thinking about these days? What are baby boomers thinking about these days? Because we need to appeal to both of those segments and everyone in between. So we're always trying to keep a pulse on some of the latest trends and innovations and then understand how it can apply to the tax industry.
And Pearson, you mentioned this is crunch time, right? This is it. But how do you still those additional, say, 7 or 8 months maintain visibility, you know, keep H&R Block on top of mind? What are some of those strategies that you're doing there?
Yeah, it's a challenge. Transparently, taxes, consumers tend to think about taxes once a year, maybe twice a year. So it's something where we want to be mindful of communicating with clients in places that make sense. So for example, we offer a mid-year care check for every client. So it's included in the price, no matter how you file. And so we'll engage with clients at that point, usually in the summer. And then H&R Block as a business is also expanding to some more year-round businesses. A couple years ago, we launched a mobile banking app called Spruce. And so that is a way for us to help clients who want to be better with money, interact with Spruce, use the card every day, and also keep H&R Block top of mind.
I always think of the taxpayer, the people. There's so many different types of taxpayers. There is such a diversity amongst, you know, the taxpayer. How are you catering your marketing to different, as you deem, taxpayers?
Yeah, it's a great question. Someone on our Clients Insights team told me this analogy maybe last year, and I think it really resonates. Is we think about it in terms of a pizza. So if we're ordering pizza, Vincent, AJ, if you know, three of us are going to order pizza, there's some baseline things we assume we're all going to want on the pizza. Or there are some baseline things we assume the pizza will consist of. There'll be crust, there'll be sauce, and likely cheese unless you're dairy free. But after that, it's limitless in terms of which toppings you prefer. So that's kind of how we approach taxes as well. There's some things that every client wants. They want their taxes to be right, and they want to get their maximum refund, regardless of whether they file online or in person or virtually with a tax pro. So we have to understand the mindset of the consumer and what do they want to get out of their tax experience. Someone who's 24 living with their roommates may have different preferences for taxes than someone who's 45, married with two kids, and also has a flourishing side business. So we need to understand what each of those different segments cares about in their tax experience, and then market to them about what they care about.
Pearson, kind of a follow-up to that, given the diversity of the client base, how do you gather the feedback from customers and how do you use those insights to inform your marketing?
Yeah, we have a variety of mechanisms for that. We have what we call a clients insights team. You know, it's the client research team. They're they're out there speaking with clients on a weekly basis. We also have a variety of post-filing surveys. So we're getting data from research, from client feedback on surveys. We also are keeping an ear to all the social channels to understand in more real time how clients are feeling about their tax experience. And then depending on what we see, depends on which actions we'll take. So AJ, for example, one of our growth targets is Gen Z. And so we want to deeply understand how they feel about taxes. And we look at that in the planning stage. And then we're also looking at those signals in real time throughout tax season to see if we need to make any adjustments in our marketing. Tax season's interesting. You spend 8 months planning for it, and then you have to make pivots. It's kind of like a game, right? At halftime, you have a game plan, you start the game, and then at halftime, you have to adjust. So we try to make sure that we are evaluating all the different data signals throughout tax season.
And then talk to us a little bit about, you know, what kind of paid advertising and search you're doing, and you know, how do you measure the ROI on the media campaigns?
Yeah, I'm sure for anyone out there that can be a tricky question depending on who you're talking to in your business. So yeah, we run full funnel marketing, and my role before my current role was I was responsible for that investment in that team. So we are evaluating our performance of TV to paid social, to paid search, to affiliate. And we want to make sure that those channels are driving the outcomes that we said they would when we launched our plan. Some channels are more flexible than others, as you know. So every day we're looking to optimize our channels to hit our growth targets. We want to make sure that our media dollars are being spent the most effectively. We use a lot of different measurement methods, from last touch attribution to multi-touch to media mix modeling, which really helps in our planning stage. It can get tricky with only 4 months to run pretty much all your marketing. So we have to be very nimble in the optimizations we're making.
Pearson, I always like to ask this question, especially of companies that have either stores or maybe, albeit like maybe franchises, a variety of locations, right? So, you know, is your role really to promote H&R Block nationally? Are you doing anything regionally for the stores? Are you helping there? Is there a department that helps? Because again, I, as someone who has used H&R Block many years, I get that targeted advertising, like come back in. So I'm just curious kind of your involvement in that.
Yeah, we want to find a balance. My team and my colleagues' team are responsible for the national advertising. And at the same time, we know that local is a very critical piece of our business, as it is any business who has physical retail offices. So we partner with the local teams as well to help them with, you know, creative, already approved creative, or other types of assets that they can then use to the best of their ability in a local setting, such as, you know, sponsoring something at the farmer's market or sponsoring the little league softball team. So we work with those teams, but the local teams ultimately have the final say on how they're going to advertise locally. We're also, even though we're trying to balance national and local, we also do some more localized events with the national team. For example, we had a recent Mardi Gras activation, but we know Mardi Gras, people probably aren't thinking about taxes during Mardi Gras. So instead we had a team show up for Family Gras, it happens about a week before. It's a parade, much more family friendly than Mardi Gras. And so we had a presence there. We had our new mascot. His name is Max. You've maybe seen him in some of our commercials. He was there in person. So we had a presence locally there as well. And that's a big part of our strategy.
Yeah. Like I said, I feel like it's even like in a huge city like New York City, I just felt like it was, you know, very in the neighborhood, you know, you got to know. I think my tax preparer was Liz. Her name was. Yeah, she was great. And so let's talk about some of those emerging technologies, right? AI, chatbots, you know, voice technology. Are you using them at H&R Block? Is there some plans in the future? How do you kind of stay on top of those trends?
Yeah, we are absolutely leaning into those types of trends. So in our DIY product this year, we launched AI Tax Assist. It's the first of its kind generative AI that can help you answer all your tax questions. We partnered with Microsoft, and it's built on our world-class tax institute. Our tax institute knows all the tax code, and they keep current on tax changes. So we feed that into this generative AI that's in all of our paid products, comes at no extra cost. And we found clients' reception so far pretty positive to that. Some clients who file DIY, they just need a little bit of help and they want to ask a few questions. And we believe it's better that they get their questions answered from a trusted source versus going to Google or to ChatGPT, which may not have the current tax information up to date. The best part of this, the new AI Tax Assist, is you can also get human help if you prefer at no extra cost. So we understand that because everyone has different preferences with taxes, you maybe want to do it yourself and then have someone just double check a few things. Or you have one specific question on your 1099 because you did a side hustle this year. So you can partner with our AI and get human help at no extra charge. So that's a big way we're leaning into it in our products. And then it's certainly informing our marketing in terms of how we optimize creative in real time. And a lot of the algorithms that we're all familiar with.
Kristen, a couple of personal questions for you. Have you had kind of mentors and role models that have helped you along in your career?
I have, yeah. I've been fortunate enough to have a few. I would call them role models. Sometimes I think mentor puts like too much pressure on, like you have to have someone who's always helping you every step of the way. And I've found actually that at each of my different points in my career, I've found a role model or two at the organization that's been able to help. The way I view it is I try to take the qualities from my previous bosses or people I work closely with, take the qualities of those people that really resonated with you that you thought, wow, they're doing a great job managing conflict or collaborating with another team. So I try to take the great qualities of my bosses that I've had and emulate those myself. And then, of course, anything they do that maybe doesn't resonate with you, you can just leave that to the side. But yeah, AJ, as I've advanced in my career, I have found different role models to help with different stages of my career.
And this is a question we ask all of our guests. So it's one of our, I guess, the only question we've probably asked every single guest. It's around LinkedIn. So I'm sure with your title and where you work, you get a lot of messages on your LinkedIn, most of them unsolicited. So what's one that gets a response from you, and what's one that really annoys you?
So the ones that get a response tend to be short and punchy, personalized when possible. And I'd say an engaging subject line never hurts. Like I think I got one recently that said, we're better than your competitors or something just like very pointed. I don't even know if they actually are, but it got me to open the email or the message. It's very obvious when you get a message that is just copy paste and they inserted your name. Half the time for me, they insert my last name first. So those automatically get ignored. But yeah, it should be personalized when possible and shortened to the point. And then for things that get ignored, wrong name, that never helps. I'm sure you guys have seen it too. When someone it has the brackets around and says company name instead of someone just putting the company name in there. Like that's a classic one. And then I got one recently that someone had marked it as urgent with a little red exclamation point. I thought that was quite annoying. So I blocked them. So yeah, I don't think anything groundbreaking, but just keep it short, personalized, and to the point.
Yeah, that makes sense. We got one recently, right? I shared one that kind of piqued my interest because it was one that was flattery. It was flattering me. It says, your journey from marketing powerhouse to stand-up comedian is truly inspiring. And I'm like, I gotta reach out to this guy. I was like, look at you. And then a bunch of people started sharing some where this was one that came up, Pearson. It was let's choose our safari route together. path one, you know, path two. It's like, you know, it's crazy. I mean, I guess, you know, to kind of get through the noise. But yeah, that's an interesting one you brought up, because it's kind of a first where it's the one with the urgency. That one I really haven't seen before. That's kind of a first here on the marketing stair, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it, at least sample size of one. I didn't appreciate that.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you, you know? And then, so before we get into some more personal questions to kind of get to know you, as we do every guest on the podcast, I wanted to talk to you about, you know, your time there, or just, you know, how H&R Block handled, because going back, we're trying to forget about the pandemic, right? But the pandemic was like smack dead during tax season. How did that affect, how did you guys pivot? I'm trying to think back to what I did. It was definitely using H&R Block, but maybe it was a drop off. I'm not sure, but you know, talk to us about it.
It was a wild time. Outside of everything that was happening in all of our personal lives going on at that point, obviously, the tax season, the tax deadline, which in the U.S. is April 15th, had never changed before. So in almost 70 years, your business rhythms adjust to the tax season. So our budgets were planned through 415. The staffing in the offices was planned through 415. Everything. So we had no playbook when it got delayed. That was in 2020. It got delayed all the way to July. And then the year after that, it was to May. I'll never forget these because of the stress I had to endure to get through them. But yeah, so it was very challenging. There was no playbook, like I said. So to navigate all that uncertainty, we had to make informed guesses and look at the data we had available to us and make the best choice at the time, fully knowing that we don't have all the data inputs to make that kind of decision. You know, we think about consumer mindset during that time too. Taxes wasn't top of mind. So we had no crystal ball to understand, are people going to file on April 15th still out of muscle memory, or are they going to wait until July when the deadline got extended to? So yeah, it was a challenging time. And like I said, we just had to make informed decisions with what we had. And we got through it by just over communicating to our business partners, to leadership team, to each other on what we're seeing, because it certainly was not business as usual.
And you're right. It's like, when's the last time you could think of that date moving before that? You know, I think the other like big, you know, global pandemic was, you know, the Spanish flu or something like that. It was like 100 years before. So I don't think people were thinking about their taxes, you know, that far, you know, back then. But Pearson, let's get to know you personally. So I have another question, personal question. I'm like, so April 16th, you just go on, do you go on like a planned vacation for like a couple of weeks where you're like, I need a break, get me out of here. And then also just tell us what you like to do personally, you know, and you know, what brought you from Chicago to Kansas City?
Yeah. So April 16th is a celebratory day. Usually we'll get together as a team and you know, take the afternoon and do something together to just recognize all the hard work that everyone put into it. I usually save my vacation for the summer. A few years ago, actually, H&R Block did what I believe was a great thing. And we get what's called the reboot week. The week of July 4th, the whole company's off. No one sends an email. No one meets about anything. So that's a great time for the whole company to reset as we reflect on what happened this past tax season and prepare for the next one. So what brought me to Kansas City, my wife and I had been living in Chicago. Love that city, by the way, for quite a while. And we just wanted a new adventure. I was looking for a new role at the time as well. And I got a role here at H&R Block managing our paid search. And that was in fall of 2019. So similar to you, Vincent, I'm coming up on almost 5 years at my organization. And I've been able to work my way up since then.
That's awesome. What do you like to do for fun out there in Kansas City? Everyone thinks it's like, oh, you just like barbecue. There's so much more than that there. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So Kansas City obviously is known for barbecue. We do eat other things besides barbecue here. My wife and I really enjoy trying new restaurants. I'm starting to get into rock climbing a little bit as well. Something to do that, especially in the wintertime. I like playing chess. And I also enjoy reading a fair amount, both fiction and nonfiction books. So yeah, try to stay social, stay active, and keep my mind engaged outside of work.
That's awesome. And Pearson, as we end here, you know, any closing thoughts to the audience, any advice, any books you're reading, any, you know, just knowledge that you want to share with this audience?
Yeah, I think two things come to mind. And this kind of goes back to the question earlier, AJ, about any mentors or role models. And piece of advice I've leaned on a lot is when you face resistance, educate. So especially in my role now, and perhaps other listeners out there, you're trying to talk about your marketing results to someone not in marketing, it can really be a challenge. And you'll likely face a good amount of resistance for a variety of reasons. And the way I continue to try to navigate those situations is educate people on what your outcomes you were trying to achieve from in your marketing were, and how you're doing against those outcomes. So whenever possible, try to educate your stakeholders. And then for anyone out there listening who's perhaps a bit younger in your career, and this was advice someone gave me as well, was you have to speak up. So if you want to advance, you've got to speak up in meetings so people know how smart you are and what you're thinking about. If you don't talk, no one knows what you're thinking. If no one knows what you're thinking, no one knows how smart you are. So if you're an introvert, doesn't mean you need to be an extrovert, but you should be strategic about when you speak up and offer your ideas to make sure that people above you, you know, see how you're thinking about business challenges.
I love it. That's great advice, ladies and gentlemen, from our new friend, Pearson Curtis, H&R Block. Get out there, get your taxes done. You know who's going to do it. H&R Block, ladies and gentlemen. That's Pearson Curtis, the Director of Marketing Strategy. I'm Vincent Petrofessa. That's AJ Gupta. Next time we talk to him, he's going to have a brand new shoulder. This has been another episode of The Marketing Stir. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to The Marketing Stir podcast by Stirista. Please like and subscribe. If you're interested in being a guest on the podcast, please email us at themarketingstir@stirista.com.